What up? Did I do it like Shonen? That was it. Yeah, that was it. I was challenged.
I actually have to be really loud. Like,
oh, what up? What up? A microphone? I've never seen one of these before. What is it? Amplify it? No. Ladies and gentlemen, side B. We're on side B off the record. If you listen to side A, you already know side B is going to be dope because side A was. Same crew of characters here. Side B, man, let's get into it. This is very near and dear to at least one person here, and you know, it's not that it's not dear to me, but I can't feel what you feel, man. We got to talk about it. Believeland, aka Cleveland, they did it. LeBron, the kid from Akron, came home.
That happened.
And delivered the goods.
Yeah.
In the most Cleveland way possible. made it very difficult for himself. Down 3-1. Like, I always felt like, this is my baseball coming out. When Boston was cursed, I remember saying as a kid, I was like, the only way they're going to break this curse, they have to do something that's never done.
Fair.
Curses, that's how it works.
Yeah.
So they were down 3-1 against the Yankees, and they came back and won, and then the curse was broken. Yeah. Same thing when they were down 3-1. I said, I think I might have said on fourth, I said, if they do, it's the only way you can break this curse is if you go down and look terrible, like you're gonna get beat up. It's gonna be bad, and then you win on the road. You win on the road in a place in it, like the historical. Like they've won 73 games. Like,
man,
nothing made sense.
All of the narratives. All the narratives.
Right.
Every narrative,
and they did it. So you know, right now I'm not gonna talk about it no more. I literally just want. I feel like everybody from that era deserves this moment to say whatever it is you need to say. Get that off your chest. This is a lot. So Don, I'm passing it to you.
Oh my gosh.
Like, help us understand, one, why this is so important.
Oh man.
Two, how you feeling.
Oh man.
Like, how you feeling. And three, like, is LeBron gonna leave now? No.
Always a fair question to ask. Man, I mean, it's I don't know. So I'm from Northeast Ohio. You know, we've had a hard time. That's what I'll say. We've had a hard time. You know, people have heard about this maybe ad nauseum, but you ain't heard it from me, at least not right now. So that's what I'm talking about at this moment. But no, I was like, it's so important because nothing ever good happens to us in sports. Mm-hmm. Like it just doesn't matter what it is. Like, and it gets so, it's so much like repeated heartbreak that the mere like hint of something good, like we rejoice in that because we just know it's probably not going to get better than that. So yeah. I remember like, what was it, like 5 years ago, the Browns had a 10-win season.
Ooh.
We held a parade for a 10-win
season.
We didn't even make the playoffs.
Wait, they really held a parade?
We celebrated the 10 wins.
I'm getting to understand the depths of this now.
That's, do you realize how damaged psychologically you have to be to when your football team wins 10? Like, so, and that comes from a long line. Like, I'm sure, you know, if you've not checked in, we hadn't won anything since 1964. Jim Brown was a part of the team that the Cleveland Browns had won, but we won it when it wasn't even the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It was called the NFL Championship. That's how long ago it was. So long ago. That was the last time we won anything in Northeast Ohio. And so there was just heartbreak after heartbreak, whether it was like, you know.
They have names. That's how real it is. Like, when they have names. Like,
I hesitate to bring up all of them, but you should, there are so many of them.
Like, you get it off your chest. What are these names? Because there's a few.
There's, oh my gosh. So there's the fumble.
The fumble.
All right. There's the drive.
See, this is so sad.
There's the catch.
My goodness.
I mean, they like, and I'm sorry, like all of these have like full narratives behind them as to like.
If you don't know, just look them up.
It's just, but there's just a long, long, long list of things that have occurred in which we've just, we've just never succeeded. There's even like the move, right? There's
our, oh yeah, he just left y'all.
Yeah, Armodell just picked up and took our sports franchise, you know, away from us.
No more football.
Yeah, yeah. It was just gone immediately.
Yeah.
So you know, all of these things, you know, have occurred. They are just a long list of heartbreaks. And so when you have something, when you have such consistent heartbreaks, you have, you know, we're talking about this, though, because just as recently as last night, barely, you know, not even 24 hours ago, fully.
The day, the hours are blurring together, brother. I understand. I mean, I don't, but my teams ain't did it.
Right. But like we, you know, the Cavs had won. You know what I mean? And so it was, you know, and the crowd goes wild. Yeah. Holyfield has just won the fight. You know what I mean? It is that type of thing. And it's so funny because I talk, you know, you are a beleaguered Atlanta sports advocate.
Yeah,
I am. And it's funny because I've talked to people who are that way and they're like, man, you know, it's so, you know, they're like, man, because it's a weird, and we can talk about this, but it's a weird like protection thing where it's like, like, yo, no, like we are so used to losing that we began to like own it in a way that like, no, that's ours. It's, like don't try to take that away from us. Like that's ours. And I've had That's all we got. So I've had conversations with people from Atlanta who are like, yo, when we don't win nothing either. Like we have a lot of bad things that happen too. I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
And then like they'll be like, no, I mean we haven't won, you know what I'm saying, since the World Series in what, like 95. And I'm like, yeah, you beat us.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
Yeah.
You beat the Cleveland Indians to get that. So you know, it's just a weird thing, but yeah, man, it's an exciting day. It took me a few hours to even realize that something had happened, like that they weren't about to like renege it.
Yeah,
it's just crazy.
It was like you mentioned how you couldn't watch.
Everybody has superstitions. I couldn't watch the game. That was my like thing that like because basically like they had won. They had won game four and I was like performing and I couldn't watch it. And because they won, I'm sorry, they won game five, they lost game four, but because they had won game five, I couldn't watch it. And so I was like, oh man, I didn't watch it. So that's why they won. So then I was like, all right, I can't watch game six either. And they won again. And so, you know, I just realized like, yo, I can't break this. Like, this is what we're doing. Like, my part in this is not watching. Like I can't like when the phrase is all in, it's because everybody has something they're supposed to do.
Oh yeah.
Including the fans. And my contribution to us winning is not watching it in real time.
Yeah.
Like now I'm right next to a screen in which it's showing and like I have somebody who's like letting me know like, okay, you're not out of it. Like they're like giving me like random amorphous updates about like what may or may not be occurring.
Yeah.
But like I don't ask for an exact score. And then like it got to be, I watched, in real talk, I watched the last minute.
I'm about to say, you have to.
I had to.
You had to. Because where would you, how'd you have felt? He was like, I didn't see none of it. You did it. Like nah. they took your car.
Yeah.
They took your Cavs car.
So yeah, man.
That's crazy. That's all. Like I had a friend, a comic out of LA, Rhea Butcher. She tweeted how like she doesn't tweet during game day. That's her. Like, so when you say all in, it really is like everybody has a role.
Everybody.
And everybody has to do what they have to do. I was kind of sad that y'all won.
Really? Okay.
Not because I don't like LeBron.
Understood.
And not because I think Jesus loves Steph Curry more than everybody.
Okay. We should go back to that.
But because, like, as a sports fan, it's like that story's gone now.
Yeah.
We lost that. Like, we lost that cool thing that, like, because that was the cool thing Cleveland had.
That, yeah.
And as a Cleveland person, like, who's a Cleveland fan, I know it doesn't feel good that that's your cool thing. Like, it can't feel good. You know what I mean? Like, that's just like being, like, you know, like the kid that, like, if you grew a horn out of your head. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like you're the kid that grew corn. Like, and everybody's that's like, that's cool, but you're like, you don't know my pain though.
Right.
There's a horn growing on my head. I don't feel good about this.
you don't know my sorrows.
But you don't know my sorrows.
Fair enough.
A part of me as a sports fan was like, man, we don't have like the Cubs, but it's not, I don't know, man. Like, it was the whole city of Cleveland.
It wasn't
just a team. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the White Sox had won. Somebody has won in Chicago.
Yeah, the White Sox have won.
The White Sox have won.
The Cubs have not.
The Cubs have not. But it was like the city, at least somewhere, could champion something.
Cleveland,
not only sports-wise, and like people compare like the despair of Detroit to Cleveland, but it's like, nah, they had the Bad Boys. And like people act like sports doesn't matter.
Right.
But no, like you said, it takes on this identity of... It's like you're like the Eeyore of sports cities, Where it's just like everything, everything that could, it's the Murphy's Law.
There's a reason we had the movie Major League 1, 2, and 3. Yes. Like that's like, it's a reason why that was the Indians, or it's because it's Cleveland has this certain identity, and it's not even just Cleveland. It's like all of Northeast Ohio.
Yeah, and like, that's what makes it interesting to me, because when you, people talk about like people from there will say, no, the area.
Yeah, yeah.
Northeast Ohio. All of us, right? And it's like, the dang, whole area. I thought it was just.
No, it's all of it. And then there's like limits to it because it's people like, like people from Cincinnati or Columbus, they have their own sports history or whatever, and yeah, they, you know, whatever. But all that is to say that I was, you know, really excited and overwhelmed and shocked and couldn't understand, couldn't process it for a very long time. And then what made, what was also like this other interesting like subplot, which wasn't even really a subplot to me, it was a lot of the main plot for me, was like this fascination that Christians had with the opposition, like,
oh my goodness,
this inherent, like, I don't know, like, what happened? Dan, can you talk to me about like what happened that made like Golden State
the chosen one,
the chosen, like, it made them the chosen ones. It also made them like closer to God. Like they were like, if you love Jesus, you love the Warriors. And if you don't love the Warriors, I know, but if you don't love the Warriors, then you don't love Jesus. Like, it was this weird, like, A plus B equals B.
It was so funny seeing on Twitter, like, all the super Christians in the world, like, were showing up in San Francisco, like, going to the games. Like, well, Lecrae showed up with his hat on, like, he was ready to go. Like, oh, this really is, like, the super Christian thing to do.
It's super.
And so first of all, I'm just sad that Cleveland won, because now Atlanta is the new Cleveland.
That's not true.
It is. Bro, it is. Do not tell me.
No, I think
we
ESPN,
have one championship.
San Diego hasn't had one in 53 years. Like, I saw ESPN, they were like, who's the new Cleveland?
Oh,
that was like a thing. It was like San Diego, Milwaukee. Like, don't get me wrong.
Did Atlanta make the list?
Atlanta was close, because everything was like 25 years and up, and we're only, what, 20?
Yeah,
21,
yeah.
So we're not quite there.
But we've had, my deal with Atlanta is we've had great teams.
Yeah.
And we had the best team in baseball through the 90s, and we have one championship.
Yeah, like, no, there's something to be said about how
You're
good
welcome.
We were supposed to. Thank you, Cleveland.
The Indians.
Yeah. There's something to be said about being close, like being like the team that should have and then finds a way to fall. And like, I guess the difference is like there were good times.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he just said there was a parade with 10 wins.
True.
Like, if they pulled that stuff in Atlanta, we'd be like, what are you doing? We're supposed to have 10 wins.
I can't remember what year it was. Was it like 04, 05? I think we lost to Boston. Like Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, lost to Boston.
Because Beckett was on the mound for, We have amazing people. Again, let me toss a, can I talk my, again, like really quickly. This other part of this too is, Baltimore is the Browns.
Right, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They leave.
And win.
2 years later, they win.
Sure
it's
do.
The same team.
Yeah.
They just had to leave. The greatest football coach mind that we have right now is Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Who coached the Cleveland Browns for years. Like,
and was terrible.
It was terrible. That's what I'm saying. Like, it
what are
happens
y'all doing
to
there?
Us.
What is
it
happening? What's in the water?
Cesar Sabathia left.
Yeah.
Was an Indian. Like, we had so many people. It just makes no sense. It makes no sense.
It is bad water. So getting back to the Christian conversation.
Yeah, let's get to that. This is the best one.
Yeah. It's so true. And it, I mean, let's just be honest. Steph Curry is the second coming of Elijah. And
is that what that is?
And
dude, you know what really happened? He lost his anointing when he started cussing in game 6.
Yo.
The Lord said, I'll take that back.
No, that's what, like that is actually part of what fueled it, is that, like, you know, he, like, he's a dude. I have no inherent, like, I don't like Steph Curry.
Yeah.
I don't like the people who like Steph. Like, that's where that comes from oftentimes for me. Not because, like, people can't be fans of him or anything like that, but, like, there's this strange, weird, like, I don't know, like, what happened often, because what I saw was, like Christian rationalization
for his
blowing up, right? And I'm like, yeah, like, some of those calls were bogus. Like, I get it. I get why he was upset. I understand that. You play ball. That stuff is just whatever. But, like, he would throw up, and then he was just like, you know, you know, anger, but sin not. Like they would like quote like scriptures around.
Like, nah, Steph, we got you. You fight the battles on the court, right, off the court. Right. Hit up this word.
I saw videos of like of pastors who were like prophesying about Game 7 and about how angels are fighting on the behalf of. I was just like, yo, when did this occur? And and all jokes aside, like I think Steph's an amazing player, and like that team is like an amazing
greatest
team
regular
to watch.
Season
like,
team ever.
I'm not tripping on that at all. Like I feel like, and I think I said this before, but I feel like they're like they have that Seattle Seahawks quality where like if you don't have a committed squad that you're like focused on, they tend to just be the most fun team to play basketball. Where you're like, man, it's fun to see these dudes shoot and like run up and down the court and the fluidity of the ball and all that stuff. Like, so I get all that. Like, I'm not hating on that piece of it, but I am confused like where like one team is inherently virtuous and another one isn't. And how there's like these narratives that people create out of it. Cause like, if you really drill down like LeBron's story, like there's an amazing narrative inside of that.
Incredible.
Like an amazing. And like, I mean, you have someone who you could take, and this is just poor and sloppy exegesis in preaching, so I'm not doing that, but like the idea of you not being recognized in your hometown, like that scripture of a prophet not being right, and then like the idea of you like this place burns your jersey, like it actually, you know, death threats, all of that, like an entire city hates you, and then you go back and actually do this for those very people who hate you and have done all these things like to like terrorize, like
it's the prodigal son, but like part two.
But I'm like, what? Like there's like, it's like a very sloppy Jesus story in that, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That is like, yeah, like how can you not see virtue in that? Even if you're this is whatever, I'm not a fan of this. Yeah, but like,
but Steph Curry is the Tim Tebow we always deserved. Like,
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean, someone that has genuine talent and faith that
it never mixes.
You need to have.
Right. I've said that plenty of times. Real Christians aren't great at sports.
That's true. You need to have that token Christian that can carry the banner and say we have a cool guy at the table. Understood. And so I think, you know, Steph Curry was the average-sized dude.
Yeah.
He was, forgive me for the bluntness of this, he's black enough for the black people. He's white enough for the white people.
Understood.
And so he kind of is a catch-all for everybody. He's not LeBron, who's a specimen. Mm-hmm. And everyone can kind of see themselves in Steph. And so, the majority of the Christian conservative population in this country is white, and so they get behind this guy because they're a bunch of white dudes that can't ball. And this dude gets out there, and you can either choose Dellavedova or you can choose Steph Curry, and people choose Steph Curry.
It's like, because this game is like, oh, it's a jump shot? He's making a jump shot hot? I had a jump shot in high school, and like people get hyped about that. I always thought it was so interesting in any sport where it's like, there's like a super Christian athlete. It's like, I would hate to be like a Christian on the Cavs. He's just like, oh God.
Who wants to be a Christian next to J.R. Smith?
Well, I was like, that's missional work right there. That's real missionary work. But just the idea of like people have of like God being like, yeah, I mean, obviously I'm not a respecter of persons, but Steph is my boy. And his prayers get up a little bit quicker than y'all at the end. I'm just gonna say Richard Jefferson. Like you know what I mean? Like if you are a believer on the Cavs, like it just always bothered me that like you. And then I just see so many like sermons had to get switched up for this coming Sunday because they lost it. Like, oh man, we didn't see it.
Yeah, this is not what not what we promised.
It was a lot of pastors could have just like coasted this next Sunday, and now they gotta work.
But it was crazy. So like, and that's what I think was interesting. And again, this is not to impugn. I think from what I can tell from a public perspective, I don't know any of these people like personally, but I know people who know them personally. Like, I think all of that stuff is genuine. I think Steph has a genuine faith and like all of that stuff, and other people on the team similarly too. But it's like, because because there's this image that was marketed and then bought by a lot of people, and particularly a lot of the church, then it's like, you excuse things that don't that shouldn't be like, there's things that are contrary to that, that are like, well, let me show you how this works in favor of the other narrative. I'm like, yeah, you can't have a dude who's addicted to hitting dudes in the penis and like being like, let me show you like the way in which God works in that. Like, wait a second. No, there's like no working in that.
Somebody should have challenged Draymond. I mean, challenged Steph to minister to Draymond.
Somebody, I'm saying,
like, hey man, you see him committing these sins right in front of you.
Like, you can't
step your faith up right now and tell him, hey man, this not stop swinging low.
I'm just saying, like, there, you know, you can't keep calling people bees. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't call people bitches and act like that's okay.
Yeah, it's not okay.
And but like, it just got swept under the rug. Like, it don't matter. Touch not God's anointed. Here's, like, that's fine. Like, what?
Here's the message. Huh? We gonna realize. Somebody gonna write this. Y'all can thank me later. Somebody gonna like, this was because he didn't say something about Draymond.
Yeah,
he didn't say something about the other people cussing and stuff. This is him refusing to go to Nineveh. This is him refusing, and this is his. He's in the well now.
Yeah,
this whole off season is gonna be him in the well,
dog.
And then some, he's gonna learn Aaron's ways, and next year they're gonna go in the championship. I don't know.
No, it's real. Like, I long ago I tweeted it last night that like, I legitimately believe John Piper is like smiling right now, saying, yes, now Steph will greater know the sufferings of Christ. Like this is, like, he is legitimately like, yes, in this loss, Steph will grow. Steph will grow closer to the abundance and the fellowship of suffering.
Oh my goodness.
It's just crazy to me. But I, you know, I don't know. But like, so I, Dan, as someone who's like a professed, like, hey, I was pulling for the Warriors. I like them. What about them, you know, what about it was it? I mean, and it could just be like, yo, I wanted to see the Warriors win, period.
No,
like,
it really was a I hate LeBron kind of thing.
Gotcha.
And I think it's not so much I hate LeBron. It's more so like, it goes back to the decision. I liked LeBron before the decision, and I really was rooting for Cleveland to win and really kind of, bring a championship there. And then the decision happened, and I was like, I can't really co-sign that. And then he goes down to Miami. He wins down in Miami. That was fun. It was fun to watch. And he comes back, and it's just, I feel like there's this thing of, like, self-proclaimed king. And he is, like, athletically probably the greatest basketball player of a generation. But at the same time, I just think that he's a crybaby. I think that he complains all the time. And I hate, like, you talk about, it's fun watching the Warriors play. Mm-hmm. It's boring as hell watching the Cavs play. Like, when I watch, it's like LeBron drives to the hole. LeBron kicks it wide. They kick it back to him.
Yeah.
Give and go. It's just like, it rises and falls on him. And we saw that. Which is great for him because he literally just won by himself in a lot of ways. Besides Kyrie Irving, just finally,
I mean, he led
up
in, I think, points, assists, steals, blocks. Like,
led all teams.
All teams in
statistically.
So he single-handedly won the championship. Great for him. Reason I don't really love him
because he was so great. No, I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get it. Like, I don't. I never did. I always liked LeBron. I think this might have helped. We always try to compare him to Jordan or other people, and like this. We have to admit now, just watching this, like, this is something different. It's sure, never going to be Mike. It's not Magic. Mm-mm. He's creating this own weird thing where he's lost more than all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But then the way he's won has been in the greatest. Like, to win in Cleveland is the impossible. You know what I mean? Like, everybody said he got to get out of Cleveland. He'll never win there.
Right?
So it's like he won. His championship is bigger than any. All six of Jordans. I will put that Cleveland championship.
People will dispute that, but I understand.
But all six of Jordans do not compare to winning in a city that you were, you know what I mean? Like, that you probably didn't grow up a fan of because they were trash. You know what I mean? And it's like to win in the magnitude of the win.
It's also one of those things where, like, Chicago adopted Jordan, right? Like,
like,
Jordan was born in Brooklyn and then came of age in North Carolina, and then, like, Chicago adopted him. It's not Dwayne Wade winning in Chicago where, like, he's born and raised in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
This is someone who was born and raised in the hometown city in which they eventually played for.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying? So there's those, like, uniqueness part. Like, I'm just of the thought that, like, it's something different. Like, I don't get into the whole, like, I've long gotten away from the whole, like, is this Jordan, is, you know, where does he rank against whatever.
Yeah.
I know where I put him, but, like, it's just such a short list of of what he's been able to do. So
no one can feel as good as, like, I honestly, the thing I was the most envious, not envious, but like, I remember feeling envious of like the high that he's feeling right now.
Right.
I don't think any will never be another athlete to experience that, because I guarantee you from 16, when he kind of came on the scene at 16,
absolutely,
he was somebody in there. Everybody was like, he's like the chosen one was more than just his athletic ability. It was what he meant to that area, because they knew, they like, we got a chance to get number one pick, and if the stars align, we get this like game changing player,
right?
And then to have like this story is like it's so better than the
other
movie.
Parts to it too, right? That I always talk about. Like, one, it's funny, you know, and other people have talked about this, but it's just funny because there's so many stories and narratives that are just interesting. Like, Steph is this underdog, but it's like, yeah, but Steph, you grew up shooting in NBA gyms. Like, you are the son. You are like a part of a first family of NFL or NBA lineage. Right. Like, LeBron's mother had substance abuse issues. Like, he was homeless, like lived in a car. Like, there's a story that Steve Stout, who runs Translate Marketing, which, you know, he managed the careers of Nas and co-partnered with Jay-Z on a bunch of stuff, wrote a book called The Tanning of America, a bunch of things that he's been a part of, Behind the McDonald's, Loving It campaign, all these things like that. But he talks about how, like, he came to his company came to LeBron to do marketing. He tells this story on Hot 97. Like, he came to LeBron to do marketing when he was still in high school, because they knew he was going to go pro, right? And so the deal was going to be X amount of, like, let's say $10 million or whatever, right? And that was, like, the baseline deal that he was going to get. Like, Nike was going to offer him this. Whoever it was always going to offer them. He said, we'll give him, we came to him, like, we'll pay you the $10 million, but we'll pay you another million on the spot just to not take any more meetings, like, just so that we have you, right? Like, you take this million now, and then it's just a wrap. Like, you don't, whatever. And he thought about it and, like, turned it down. Mm. Like, turned down a million in his hand, and then had to leave that meeting and go back to the projects and go to school the next day.
Wow.
All because he knew, like, man, I have a greater vision. Yeah. The people I'm with, like, we're thinking. Like, I just think stories like that are really cool, partly because just as a black male growing up in Northeast Ohio, there's 1,000 different ways that this story could have come out.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many different, like, terrible narratives that have occurred with friends of mine or people who I've seen who were, like, really dope, or, you know, where I'd be like, yo, they're the ones who are going to make it.
Right.
And they don't for whatever reason. And the fact that it didn't turn out that way, I'm like, yo, like, this is just, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, dude. I just think, like, especially with all that you just said, just thinking about, like, God's hand in, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, like, I'm not saying God's hand is not involved with Steph's life, but, like,
clearly it is.
But like, God's hands was very, what's the word? Nimble.
Yeah.
Dexterous. Yeah. Like, it was moving. You know what I mean? There's a lot of moving parts.
I feel that way.
To make LeBron, like, this story what it is. So,
I don't know.
You know,
maybe. I know we got a lot of, like, people who, you know, are big Steph fans, because I put out my thing on, like, Twitter, and a bunch of people hit me like, yo, you know, it's not too late to repent. You know, you can come to the light. It's just like, okay, that lets me know.
I want to see a picture of LeBron in church this next Sunday and then see what people think.
That's the thing. His post-conference, like, he just kept talking about God and, like, how he felt ordered.
But he didn't write no Bible verse on his shoe.
But that
it's not real till you write a Bible verse on your shoe.
That's true. And he doesn't point. He doesn't shoot and then tap his chest and then
how
point.
Else will God know that you care as an athlete unless they won't in the direction that you think he is?
I will say the biggest victory is that, like, both of these teams, like, are, like, legitimate rivals.
This is a rivalry.
Like, I think that's dope.
Yeah,
like,
we ain't, like, had that. This is a real rivalry.
Like, they legitimately respect each other and legitimately don't, like,
oh, yeah,
like, on the court playing against each other.
Because now we thought Cleveland had something to prove last. Like, they talked to me. But nobody has more to prove this next year than a team that just came off of having the greatest regular season of all time.
Absolutely.
And then losing in game 7.
Because the Warriors had said all that time, like, yo, we have to prove a mission because they discounted our first chance. Like, yeah. I just think that's, I'm a fan of sports, and so I'm a fan of, like, real rivalries being back. And yeah, man. So I think we wanted to talk about that without having to talk about actually the game. We'll leave that up, tease that up for fourth and 10. which will be coming later this week.
Yeah.
There it is.
So, real quick, do you think LeBron's going to stay? And what would it do to you if LeBron said, cool, here's your championship?
Can he do that?
I'm gone.
To be real?
He can do that, can he?
I'm fine.
Yo, I think he knows that too. LeBron's going to the Lakers. You heard it here first on Off the Record.
I'm completely fine if he did that. But I wasn't mad that he left for Miami, honestly. Oh. Like, and I had conversations with my dad. He was just like, oh, this is whatever. And I'm just like, look, show me another person who spends 7 to 9 years in a dead-end job. Like, and just expect them to keep staying there.
Yeah.
Like, so I was fine with that. But if he left, I would be okay. I can't speak for Cleveland as a whole.
They can't burn a jersey again, can they?
You'd be surprised. I don't think they would, though. I think there would be plenty of people who would be, like, disappointed. But he did what he said he was going to do. He said I was going to get a championship. And
he didn't say a championship. He didn't say not one, not two. He didn't make that mistake. Not three.
He didn't make that mistake.
See, yeah. Like I told you, I came for one. I got it. I'm out.
Hey. Yeah, man. But assuming he stays, I just like the idea of, like, these two teams, like, meeting again, like, next year whatever else. I'm sure some teams will have a lot to say about that, but still, it's pretty dope. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's what I got. This is me reveling in.
You did it.
Enjoy. Yeah, I did it.
You did it.
I did it. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Everyone.
The land. You did it for the land. Man, I'm just so envious as an Atlanta fan that, like.
That's what I'm saying. We're the new Cleveland.
No, just like, no. Y'all can be passionate. Like, Cleveland could be passionate and it didn't look crazy. Because, you know
sure?
what I mean?
Are you sure?
No,
I think we look crazy
because you're involved. I'm like, from the outside in, I feel like fans of places like that, you're like, give it to him, man. Like, yeah, he's gonna paint every day, paint his stomach every day, and may have his own chance and like own every jersey because that's all they got. But like, honestly, you ever see like a crazy Atlanta Hawks fan or like a crazy
like Nate?
You see what I'm saying? It don't look right. Something about it's like, come on, man. Like, you know, like.
Shout out to Nate.
4 for 10. But I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm envious of like that, just that diehardness at that city. Like, it breeds the fans that it breeds. So, again, congratulations, man.
Hey, man. You know.
Yeah. That parade about to be. Whew.
So, how long does this buy the city of Cleveland? Like, is it forever now? Is it another 25 years? Before people
here's
start
the thing.
Complaining
That's the thing.
Again.
Like, we've tested our limits. Like, we know that we at least can go, what, 58, for something like that. Like, we know how far we can go with it. So, you know, who knows?
So
you
2076
know? Is the next. Who knows what happens? Like, we're there. But I will say, shout out to the extreme awesome and like amazing petty of LeBron James to wear that Ultimate Warrior t-shirt.
Ooh. Oh. I tip my cap to him. That's good.
With a Kermit hat. Did you see the hat that has Kermit on the head sipping tea? Man, listen. I love
the
pettiness.
Ultimate troll.
I love pettiness like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Draymond was sipping like last year talking about Cavs suck.
Yeah.
like all of that.
See, this is
Steph
good.
Curry out there talking about I hope your locker room still smells like champagne.
Ooh.
Like these people Yeah.
This is real battles. That's how you know it's like real battles.
I love that. Clay sitting out there talking about you know, you hurt your feelings. then he throws up 82 on y'all and the next two. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
For now.
You did it.
Hey, you're welcome,
guys.
We did it.
We did that. And we're sorry you had to listen to sports, but you did because yeah, that happened.
This is historic.
Yeah, I don't know if Off the Record is going to be here in another 60 years, so I had to talk about it right now. So
fair.
That's
fair.
What happens.
Fair enough.
Nonetheless, though, anything? Oh, what are we doing with the Scratch of the Week? What you got, Dan?
Ooh, Scratch of the Week. You know what? Shout out to... Can I say this? I think I can say this. Shout out to Aaron Chunin, who was part of this project that I got to work on. And yeah, super excited about what we were able to create together. And yeah, if you're out in California at VidCon, go check out Camp Unplugged at VidCon. You'll be able to see what we're talking about.
Okay, okay. Let me shout out, since we shout out people we know. Shout out my boy Rob Hayes. He's headlining Wednesday in Athens at Georgia Theater. Nice. At AthFest. And I'm shouting him out because I'm also shouting myself out because I'll also be on the show.
That's how that works. That's how that works. What day is this?
It's on Wednesday, the whatever Wednesday of this is. So okay. 22nd.
Okay.
Yeah, the 22nd Athens, Georgia Theater. If you've never... If you ever like heard this in your area, you want us to come through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say what's up.
That's what's up.
This thing has far reach. I found that out. People listen to stuff. And then they'll like just let you know they're in the area. Like, oh, that's dope. So absolutely. Wednesday AthFest, my boy Rob Hayes, shout him out. He's hilarious. Seen what we've been on Comedy Central, NBC, a bunch of other stuff. He's blowing up. So Athens, Georgia, come out on Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah, that's dope. That's dope. I mean, I think that also. Yeah, you're right. People do listen to stuff because somebody, dope listener, Adam Hubert, reached out to me like earlier today about a like something that was happening close by, and I got to meet him and, nice. And his friend, and it was dope. For check out this dope reading, which you know I'll shout that out. A book by Michael Denzel Smith, I believe, called Invisible Man, got the whole world watching or whatever. It's a really really dope book about blackness in America and. Really, really fresh. He's a great writer, great thinker. But my real scratch actually goes out to the homie Swift, formerly known as R. Swift or whatever. But he put out an album last Friday called Higher Learning. And who knows? Somebody you might know is on track too. You know, might want to check that out. But yeah. Nonetheless, though, it's a good record. Dope rapper. Good person, great husband, excellent father, and a dope MC. So yeah, check out his record, Swift. Higher Learning. And other than that, man, till the next time, we will get the same cast of characters together or some others and talk about stuff. But again, shoot us your thoughts, shoot us about topics, shoot us about anything, and we'll be sure to get back to you ASAP, surely.
Yeah.
All right.
We appreciate the feedback.
Till next time.
Holla.
Peace.